Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Thursday, August 21st, 2014. One more Christian radio station is off the air, but security agents were not involved this time.
Our radio, two doors broken, and some people took out our mixtures in the studio. The desktop that we have been using for broadcasting has been taken. They have taken also another desktop in the other room.
And where are the peace talks in Addis Ababa headed without government participation?
The stakeholders cannot reach peace if the government is absent from the process, forcing us to consider our participation in the peace process.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Another Christian radio station is off the air today, but not for political reasons. Thugs broke into Radio Jonglei 95.9 FM, an affiliate of VOA, in Jonglei State and stole broadcasting equipment and computers. Radio Jonglei 95.9 FM is the only station that has been operating in the area after Calm returned to Bor. The government radio station went off air following several attacks between rebels and government forces in December. Jacob Achek has more for VOA from Bor.
Robbers broke into Radio Jonglei 95.9 FM last night and stole a variety of broadcasting equipment, computers and furniture. In Afria last year, thieves stolen two printers, five telephone sets, two laptop computers, one desktop computer, a radio set and 15 plastic chairs from the station. Station director Malek Gunyan Garwea says he was surprised to find the station reinstated when he arrived for his works.
Our radio, two doors broken, and some people took out our mixtures in the studio. The desktop that we have been using for broadcasting has been taken. They have taken also another desktop in the other room. They took also two phones for the radio for broadcasting. So it became a second time after the war. Now we have left with only the transmitter and the receiver for the Voice of America.
Gunyan said the three stolen computers were donated by Free Voice, a Dutch media organization operating in South Sudan. He says he hopes the police will arrest the suspect this time around.
It has happened while the security are there guiding, and sometimes they also scare the security and broke the thing and go on by force. And sometimes they come in the way that the people may not know and took up the thing. So last year it has happened many times. And this year it's also flying the same thing. So we're using the police to secure our equipment, but also it had happened while in the prison of police.
A state security official said they are investigating the incident and are going to track down and arrest the culprit. Speaking on behalf of police spokesperson Ayuni Gwit says police officers were dispatched to Bayres part of town to search for the stolen equipment and the criminal who broke into the station.
At 3:30 o'clock, somebody called me from Jonglei FM and told me our three desktop and mixer been looted here by criminals tonight, and actually we send our forces to go and control town, all the town, because this thing they cannot go out from the town.
95.9 FM is the only private station operated by the Pentecostal Sudan Christian Ministry of God. The station is one of many Voice of America affiliate stations that broadcast BOA program in Jonglei State. The government-owned radio station operating last year went off the air after the South Sudan Army, together with Ugandan troops, battled rebel for control of Bor town in December and January. Station program manager John Achek Demabior was the last employee to leave the station last night. He says the station shut down during the country conflicts will only add more misery to the daily life of Bor town residents.
I'm not very happy for what had happened overnight when the radio was stolen, and this one is really very big negative impact to the community or while enjoying Radio Jonglei within the state, because it is the only radio station operating in Jonglei State.
Peter Malwaglual, who has been a regular listener, says he has now no reliable source of information about what is happening in his state.
What has happened is not good, because Radio Jonglei is for Jonglei State in general, and it gives us information. And we discuss some of the issues which can help us here in the state, but now it is very hard for us to get the information within the Jonglei and outside the country and the world.
Radio Bekita in Juba was shut down last weekend by South Sudan security official for broadcasting views of the rebel SPLM in opposition. Radio Jonglei is now the second religious station that has gone off the air this week. For BOA News, I'm Jacob Achek in Bor.
The delegation representing civil society organization at the South Sudan Talks in Addis Ababa is calling on the Intergovernmental Authority for Development, or IGAD, to bring back government delegation to the negotiating table. The government's delegation is boycotting the negotiations for 6 straight days today. VOA fellow Nabil Biajo has more.
Speaking to reporters on the sidelines of the talks in Addis Ababa, the chairman of the civic society organization's delegation, Alokir Malwal Aguer, said any agreements reached without the participation of the government cannot and will not be implemented.
The ongoing meeting in the Semitic group and the absence of the government in the peace process, we do not believe that this ongoing process will bear tangible results for implementation back in South Sudan.
Malwal says it is IGAD's job to bring back the government to the table.
And given the lack of motion, we view that the stakeholders cannot reach peace if the government is absent from the process, forcing us to consider our participation in the peace process. As we await the returning of the government delegation, we hope that the government will be brought back to the table by the IGAD mediators, just as it was done when the SPLM in opposition boycotted the talks earlier in the closing of the session 4.
Enoch Tombi, the leader of the faith-based organization's delegation at the talks, says IGAD is well aware of the government's position on the talks.
They've expressed their opinion, and all the discussions is taking into account their opinion as a government delegation. But of course, the agreement will not be able to be signed without the government.
It is not clear at this point if the mediators have been in contact with the government delegation this week in efforts to bring them back to the talks. The United States, the African Union, and the United Nations Security Council have been urging both sides to take the talks seriously, agree on a transitional government, and reach a peace deal quickly. For VOA News, I'm Nabil Biajo.
That report was written and prepared by Iskander Freo in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. Meanwhile, in Juba, members of civil society groups say government and opposition must engage in meaningful peace talks without conditions. Both government and the rebel negotiators at the IGAD-led peace talks have failed to meet for the last 5 days, and Juba-based peace activists are not happy with the lack of progress at the talks. Philip Aleu reports from Juba.
Angelina Daniel, a member of the AN Impunity Organization, says negotiators should not set conditions at the talks. She says both the government and the rebel delegates must return to the negotiating table and start talks so that the suffering of millions of South Sudanese impacted by the 8 months of conflict will finally end.
Let them just think about how the children now suffering and IDPs, how the women are suffering, giving birth to the babies in the place that is not really healthy for the babies.
The government delegation has not shown up for the talks in Addis Ababa seen last week. They say they went the opposition to first sign a metric on how cessation of hostilities agreement, which has been violated over and over again, will be implemented. At the beginning of the conflict back in December last year, the government insists that it will not take part in the peace talks if the opposition side demanded that certain preconditions were met. The opposition, meanwhile, is demanding the withdrawal of Ugandan troops who are fighting alongside government forces. In other words, both sides accuse the other of stalling the peace process. Angelina says the future of the talks looks bleak. She says signing papers and boycotting the talks unnecessarily delay the peace process.
We don't need paper to sign. We need something to be done in the ground. We say, please, our government, feel our pain. Just hear our voice because of our sister and brothers and their son and daughters that suffering.
Angelina says the top priority of all participants at the talks should be to try to avoid famine in South Sudan and to improve the dire conditions in which hundreds of thousands of displaced persons are living. Catherine Peter, a member of the South Sudan Women Platform for Peace, says she was hopeful when the peace round of peace talk resumed 2 weeks ago. But with the government refusing to take part now, her hope has been displaced by disbelief and frustration.
I think this is a very heart-wrenching thing to hear that the peace talk is not going on in Addis well, because we all know very well how much this conflict has already caused in the country. And we hope and we are praying that all the stakeholders really go back to the table to dialogue for peace.
Fita recalls that President Salva Kiir promised upon his return from the U.S. African Summit in Washington early this month that his government will bring peace to South Sudan.
I'm just asking the government to consider the promise they have given to South Sudanese so that they go back to the table and discuss this peace. We know that they have the power to bring peace to this nation. They also know that no amount of violence will bring peace. So I'm urging our government and the opposition and all the stakeholders, the UN, the IGAD, to do all that is in their position, within their powers, to sit down and make sure that peace comes to South Sudan.
Peter says her organization will continue to pressure the two main parties at the talks to reach a lasting peace agreement for the good of South Sudanese people. Some 4 million people are severely food insecure, and around 1.5 have been forced from their homes by the conflict. For BOA News, I am Philip Tonaleu in Juba.
From South Sudan, we now turn to Darfur. At least 63 people have died in continuing clashes between two rival Arab groups in the arid Darfur region. A radio station in Sudan claims the death toll may have reached 300 as nomadic Resigat and Maalia tribes fight over land use and water rights in the eastern Darfur. The region has experienced violence during the decades of increasing ethnic tension, driving a number of local residents into refugee camps.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Leaving your home in an emergency can be very disruptive, both emotionally and physically. The stress of relocation is especially hard on children, who naturally look to adults for answers to the new uncertainties in their lives. So if your family is in this situation, reassure your children that they're safe and that you will protect them. Let them talk about their feelings and establish a new routine for eating and bedtime. Playtime is important too. All these things can help a displaced child feel a bit better, knowing that the family will be able to one day regain control and get on with their lives.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
You're tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, top officials from Lake State are summoned to Parliament in Juba. That story is coming up after this break.
You don't want to miss VOA's South Sudan in Focus. You can hear us on one of our FM affiliate stations around the country or on the web at voanews.com/South Sudan. In Juba, listen to South Sudan in Focus at 8 p.m. on 93.5. You can also find us on shortwave at 11995, 13870, and 15180 kilohertz, or download our podcast on iTunes. That's South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. question today.
Do you think women are a good influence in politics?
A way of exerting like brute force that's not confined to this masculine muscle flexing thing. It's just, I think women can get it done in politics. I honestly believe this.
I think women, they can be good during politics because women, they can decide what's good for their country sometimes. They can encourage everyone to do what's good for their country, and women, or they cannot have doubt on what they are doing.
Yes, I think they are. They bring a certain tenderness to that political front.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. The National Parliament in Juba has summoned three high-ranking ministers to answer questions about a deteriorating security situation in Lek State. There are also calls for the caretaker governor of Lek State to step down, as Waki Simon Wood reports from Juba.
The three ministers that lawmakers in Juba want to question are the Minister of Defense, Minister of Security, and the Minister of Interior. All three are expected to appear before the House on Monday. Lawmakers summoned them after the Lek State Member of Parliament from Rumbek Center constituency, Jakaria Matur, brought a motion before Parliament to discuss rising insecurity in four of the state's counties, including his. Matur says indiscriminate killings are widespread in the three Rumbek counties and in Kubet. He says he brought a motion before the National Parliament because he does not feel that officials in the state are doing enough to bring the situation under control.
In the last 3 months alone, over 500 people have been killed in the four counties mentioned above. Policemen, teachers, students, and children were killed indiscriminately, and the state government is not taking any step to deter criminals from killing innocent people.
Matur told the parliament that something has to be done to bring the situation in Lek State under control.
I am afraid, Mr. Speaker, the conflict will spread to other four peaceful counties if the situation is not addressed by this House. There is a total breakdown of law and order in the state.
National lawmaker Stephen Ajongo, who represents Northern Bara El Ghazal State, said Parliament has already tried to address insecurity in Lek State with little success.
Comrade Speaker, the fight against insecurity in Rumbek in Lek State, it is a very big issue in South Sudan. This House, Comrade Speaker, we have done a lot, sending committees from time to time, and still yet. And even the administration the mover is talking about, it has been changed. It's still yet, a lot of problems still arising in Lek State.
Lek State lawmaker Daniel Dengmonjdit agrees with the Matur that the worsening security situation in Lek State is the result of bad local governance. He is quoted in today's Citizen newspaper as calling for the removal of the state's caretaker governor, Matur Chut, who was only supposed to remain in power for 60 days after he was appointed in January last year. Matur says Parliament is expected to call for Chut to step down as governor of Lek State after it meets with the three ministers next week. Chut has a military background and was appointed as governor of the state to replace Governor Chol Tong Mayai, who was sacked by President Salva Kiir. Mr. Kiir gave no reason for firing Mayai, but his sacking is widely believed to be linked to his inability to bring the bad security situation in Lek State under control. Some state residents feared at the time of Chut's appointment that he would govern the state with an iron hand, but security has not improved since he was appointed in January 2013, his critics say. For VOA News, I am Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
The UN Refugee Agency has called for East African countries hosting Somali refugees to make voluntary repatriations possible and sustainable. For VOA News, Muhammad Yusuf has more from Nairobi.
Earlier this month, some UNHCR workers and Somali refugee leaders in the Dab camp travelled to the port city of Kismayu to assess the security and socio-economic situation of the city as part of the repatriation process. UNHCR in Kenya spokesman Emmanuel Nyabera says security is a major challenge in South and Central Somalia, and the group's visit helps the refugees make decisions knowing what awaits them if they decide to go back.
They notice that some areas need a lot of support and concern, like the medical facilities were not as good as needed. Education system was a little bit a challenge because the curriculum was not very well defined. These are some of the things that they came and shared with refugees in the camps. And this will enable refugees to make informed decisions.
For more than two decades, Somalia has witnessed a cycle of violence that has forced about 2 million people to flee and displaced hundreds of thousands inside the country. Relative peace is returning to some parts of the country after African Union troops and Somali government forces pushed back Al-Qaeda-linked group Al-Shabaab. Despite the security challenges, Nyabera says the UN agency is ready to support those refugees willing to go back home.
We have to emphasize that so far we are not promoting repatriation as such, because most of the areas where Somalis want to go to, the southern central part of Somalia, are not safe enough. But then we are able to start preparation to see how many people want to go. We have opened information desks in the camps, all the five camps in Dadaab, where we are addressing some of the concerns of the Somali refugees.
Somali government representatives have withdrawn several times from negotiations on repatriation between Kenya and the UNHCR, citing human rights abuses against Somali refugees living in urban centres. In April, Kenyan security forces carried out a major security crackdown they say was intended to flush out Al-Shabaab members and sympathisers. More than 5,000 Somalis were arrested. Last month, humanitarian agencies warned of a possible famine like one 3 years ago that killed a quarter of a million Somalis. Aid workers fear a food shortage would force thousands of Somalis back to camps. Mohamed Yusuf for VOA News, Nairobi.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here are some of today's news headlines with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Damme.
Thanks, John. Two American aid workers infected with the Ebola virus have recovered and left an Atlanta hospital. Bruce Ribner, the medical director of Emory University Hospital's Infectious Disease Unit, said at today's news conference that Dr. Kent Brantley had fully recovered, meaning he was symptom-free for at least 2 days with no virus in his blood system. Brantley and Nancy Reitbull, who left the same hospital earlier in the week, contracted Ebola in Liberia this month. Brantley gave thanks to his doctors for treating him and to God for sparing his life. Nancy Reitbull was released from the hospital on Tuesday, but had asked that her discharge remain private. Brantley asked the public to continue to pray for people in Liberia as they try to cope with the lethal disease. Officials in Liberia have imposed a general quarantine on two suburbs of the capital in hopes of curbing the outbreak. An Israeli airstrike in the southern Gaza Strip has killed three senior Hamas commanders. All three were killed today in the bombing of a four-story house in the town of Rafah, where they had led operations against the Jewish state for some 20 years. Officials said the attack also killed at least three other people. Israeli Defense Minister Yoshi Yaalon said the three were responsible for deadly attacks against Israel, including the killing of Israeli soldiers and the 2006 kidnapping of an Israeli soldier. Yaalon called the assassination of the three commanders a very important intelligence and operational achievement by the Israeli army and says Israel will continue to target other Hamas leaders. And finally, Ukrainian officials say border guards have begun checking a Russian aid convoy that has been stalled for days waiting for permission to enter the country. Ukraine's Border Guard Service says its troops have begun checking the first vehicles in the 200-truck convoy as they finally begin the process of entering Ukraine. The convoy has been waiting at the border for a series of formal steps to be completed, including inspection by the International Red Cross. The Red Cross had waited several days for security guarantees from all sides before approaching the convoy. And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Damme.
25 years after its birth in a studio shop in Lagos, Nollywood is one of the most popular film producers. Despite low budgets and poor production facilities, Nigerian films are popularly wide in Africa, and the industry professionals say they hope in future their films will be as great in quality as they are in quantity. Heather Murdoch has more for VOA from Lagos.
Silence. As a generator hums on the roof, director F. Olu Michaels shoots his 14th episode of Remember Me, a soap opera about a girl with magical powers. He says since he got into the business 16 years ago, Nollywood has grown from a ragtag industry into a giant, producing thousands of films a year, all in video.
It has changed a lot. Bad jobs don't really make waves anymore. If you don't do a good job, you are nowhere. Bad jobs just die along the line, but good jobs are recommended and people keep talking about it.
But Nollywood also suffers from the same woes as the rest of Nigeria: widespread poverty, insecurity, and lack of electricity. As a result, Nigerian artists say their movies are made on tight budgets and films lack polish. At a fancy country club on the other side of Lagos, Olu Jacobs, one of Nollywood's most famous actors, says many movies are shot in only a week for less than $30,000.
We haven't got the money to prolong it for more than 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 days maximum. Otherwise, you run out of money.
But he says Nollywood movies are popular because they reflect themes modern African people can relate to, rather than the Hollywood version of the continent, which is often an exotic land of big animals and suffering villagers.
I am an eternal optimist. I will tell you that Nollywood is going to improve by leaps and bounds. You know, because more and more people and organizations are beginning to see that this field is respected outside this country.
Back on the set of Remember Me, where the generator is still the only source of power, 21-year-old actress Bronze Manuels says Nollywood, which employs roughly a million people, gives young artists in Nigeria a chance to make it, even if they do not have the resources to travel abroad.
It's about the passion. It's about how much effort you can put into it. That's how I see it.
This is Manuel's first role after many auditions, she says, but she does not want to be just another actress. She wants to be a Nollywood star. Heather Murdoch for VOA News, Lagos.
That's our show for this Thursday. We now take you to Western Equatorial State with a traditional Zande song by Tutu.
Mama, 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 mama
We have been listening to a traditional Zande song from Western Equatoria by Tutu. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening, and we hope to have you back with us here tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.